Blog Talk Radio.
To share with you one of the most shocking gentlemen in the 21st century that's going to be on this show, the Student to Teacher show, this morning. That's right. This morning, Dr. Umar Johnson will be joining us from Philadelphia. And there are so many different people that have called in response to, you know, you mean Dr. Umar Johnson? Yeah. Dr. Umar Johnson is going to be on the show today. That's right. And he's going to be talking about this topic that we have all been interested in for the last few weeks. We've been covering African Americans with disabilities, and we've been talking about the disparity that exists within the disability community as a whole. We've been looking at the fact that, and I've got to say this, please keep this in mind with everything that you're going to listen to this morning. White Apple Institute is a sponsor of this radio show. And White Apple Institute believes in helping people to achieve their success in the workforce and in college, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of their gender choice. Our purpose at White Apple Institute is to bring peace and harmony to be part of that solution. But in saying that, yes, we definitely want to focus on a universal perspective of love and peace. Yes, we do. Love and peace for everyone. And we hate the fact. I mean, if there's anything we hate, you know, I tell my students all the time, prejudice is not necessarily about color of skin, somebody, a group that you're prejudiced about. Prejudice can be that you just don't like a concept, okay, something in your life you just don't like. I do not like the fact that we have to talk about racism. I don't like that. I wish we didn't have to address the disparity that's out there, my friends. Listeners, please understand this, especially some of my colleagues who are of European heritage. Understand, as parents have come up to me, I was at the African Americans with Disabilities Conference here in Phoenix, and many white parents came up to me and says, well, my kid's having problems too, and they're not African American. Why is it that African Americans have to now single themselves out? I said, I promise you, African Americans did not want to just single themselves out. The disparity exists. Why is there still disparity in 2012? I'm not making it happen. And the people that worked on putting the conference together, they didn't make it happen, but it's there. Racism charges within just the EEOC. You know what that is? The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, that's with the government, said that out of all the cases, like, I mean, you're talking about over 30, 40,000 cases, that 86% of them are due to charges about racism against African Americans with employment. Come on now. And they enforce the Americans with Disabilities Act. Another place where disparity has existed when they talk about the lowest rate of disability of people succeeding in life with disabilities is among African Americans. Okay, here we go again. Census Bureau. Come on, folks. Census Bureau says overall national disability 20%. Out of the 20%, 21% of that is strictly African Americans. Now, do I want to talk about this? I want to talk about it because we need to become part of the solution. Okay, the problem already exists. I didn't make the problem, and you didn't make the problem. Okay, but it's there. So what do we do with it? Okay, that's the question. What do we do with it? We have a number of guests on this morning. Switchboard's just lighting up here. I know that we have other callers coming on. We have a chat room that is open. So if any of you would like to, because it won't be enough room for a lot of questions to come into Dr. Johnson this morning, but if you would just type in your questions, if you're on the computer listening, then I'll pick it up in the chat room and shoot it back to Dr. Johnson as time permits, because we're only on a half an hour schedule this morning. Thank you so much for being with us. God bless all of you this morning. And we have, before we get to our guest speaker, Dr. Umar Johnson, we have some people calling in from 318. 318, are you there? Good morning, 318. Okay. Just saying good morning to you. This is Professor Applewhite.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi there. Hi, where are you?
Peace and blessings.
Okay. Who is this? Who is this?
This is Anna McMillian from Mississippi.
All right, Anna. Thank you from Mississippi. What part of Mississippi, Anna?
I am actually from the Gulf Coast. I am the furthest south you can possibly go.
Oh, I know that Gulf Coast area, girl. I know that Gulf Coast area. I used to be out there. Okay? Great food out there. Well, thank you. God bless you for being with us this morning. We're going to have a great show. Wait till you hear Dr. Johnson. Okay?
I am ready for that, and thank you so very much.
All right. Okay, and we have another caller here. Looks like 480-200. Good morning.
Good morning, Maria. Good morning, Ms. Apple.
Maria, loyal listener, always there. Okay? Any comments you have, you just come right on in. Okay? We got another caller coming in here from 773-322. Hi. Good morning. 773. Trying to acknowledge everybody this morning. How you feeling? This is Professor Applewhite. Okay. All right, now I think this is our guest speaker here, so I'm going to, let's see. Hi, how are you? Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite.
Good morning. This is Dr. Umar Johnson.
All right, there you are. You know they're waiting for you. They are waiting for you, my dear brother Johnson. Dr. Johnson, Dr. Umar Johnson. Where did you go to school, Dr. Johnson?
Millersville University, Lehigh University, Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine.
All right. Oh, you started with medicine too? With pre-med?
No, ma'am. Just the college where the psychology doctoral program was housed.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I started pre-med, and then I went into, because I really am always interested in motivation and learning and how the brain receives information. So I grew up in Watts. I grew up in the ghetto of the ghettos, right? In California. You ever heard of Watts?
Yes, I was in Los Angeles in December speaking at Charles Drew University this past December.
Oh, yes. Did a lot of work out of Charles Drew. A lot of gunshot wounds, a lot of young brothers being shot up, shooting themselves up, okay? Not just with bullets, but with the other stuff, okay? Something is going wrong, okay? We're supposed to be going forward. We got all this technology out there, Dr. Johnson. We are supposed to be progressing as a nation. Why are we still talking about racism?
Two primary reasons. Number one, black people are still in denial about the reality that this government and this society wants absolutely nothing to do with us. And if we are going to progress, we're going to have to make ourselves progress by coming together and being more responsible to one another. We will only be saved if we choose to save ourselves. The government will have no hand in it. The government is the expression of the will of the majority. And if the majority of white folk in this country do not desire for black people to improve, if we're depending on the government to be the catalyst for that improvement, it'll never happen. We have to begin to take on a self-reliance and do-for-self mentality in order to get out of this situation. But unfortunately, too many of us, especially the educated elite, are so selfish and only have one goal, and that is to copy the lives and success of white people, so they are totally disconnected from the struggles of their less fortunate brothers and sisters. And so it's going to take a grassroots, a very well-organized and orchestrated movement to get us out of this problem. But the irony of the black condition is that our self-hatred, our desire to see each other suffer, is greater than our desire to see ourselves get out of this situation.
Wow. And you know what I really appreciate? Everything that you said was just right on time, and self-hatred definitely is there. I do appreciate the fact that you talked about the government, and a lot of times when we say they, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the government and the will of the majority, and I think that that's what some of our white colleagues want to hear. I think they need to hear that we're not saying all white people are doing this. What we're saying is that the majority of white people who run this government are responsible for these kinds of figures that I noted earlier in the show. That's the bottom line, isn't it?
Very much so. We have to be clear that most white people would willingly fulfill any role that was vacated by any white person who's in government. So when we speak of white supremacy, we're not speaking only of the government. Most white people do agree with the government's various strategies for dealing with white people. Very few disagree. Even white liberals, you'll find many of them are in support of how the government treats black people. So I'm not exonerating white people who don't participate in government. I do admit that there's certain white people who operate outside of the collective consciousness of their people, but the majority of white people do share the same opinion when it comes to black people.
Yes, isn't that? That is why there's still disparity, and we're talking about 2012. I mean, we've come a long way. I mean, not just, we're not even talking about the civil rights movement of 1965. We're not even talking about the development of the Americans with Disabilities Act or the Individual Education Act that's supposed to protect our children, supposed to protect all students. But yet and still, we find the disparity let's just focus on this. We're going to do other shows with you. We certainly hope you come back, and we'll do other shows with us in the future. But what we're talking about now, today, is I want you to try to address for us in this short time we have about why there's such disparity in special education and the self-hatred that's going on with our youth that's causing them to drop out or be labeled as special ed.
Well, special education was designed to resegregate black children from white children. That's the first goal. The second goal is to marginalize black children so they would not be fit to compete with white children in such a economically challenging society. And so special education is a way to eliminate your competition by diagnosing them with problems that they don't have, fictitious learning disabilities, fictitious mild mental retardation, fictitious emotional disturbances, fictitious ADHD. The interesting thing about the psychiatric drug movement against black children and black boys in particular is that most of our children are being drugged based on diagnoses that cannot even be proven to exist in the first place. So these are theoretical labels that they are using to drug our children as a strategy of social control over the black community. Special education is nothing more than Jim Crow education. It is the legal and intentional under-education, miseducation, diseducation of black children with the consent of their parents. We have to be clear. Black parents are at fault because we are the ones giving white people permission to test our children and classify them with problems that they don't really have so the school can be excused for not educating them.
Dr. Johnson, here's my contention on this, is that now we have minorities in the Latino community, Native American communities. I mean, when we talk about non-white students as a whole, okay, what we're talking about is disparity in all of these groups. Now, I know you focus on African American students, but don't you see that disparity exists among most minorities?
It's not as bad, though, among the other groups. The disparity is greatest amongst black children and black boys in particular. No other student population in this country suffers as much from miseducation, unequal discipline practice, expulsion, suspension, subsequent referral to juvenile incarceration, and ultimately imprisonment. No other group comes even close to the black boy as it results to this war that is being taken place against them, which is why, for me, I really don't waste too much time dealing with the struggles of other groups. And the reason why I don't is because we don't focus enough on our own problems, so I really don't have time to cater to other people's problems. And many of these other groups of color that we're talking about, many of them have no interest whatsoever in helping us fighting our fight. So we're always coming to the aid of other people, but they're never coming to our aid. So we have to get to the point where we become unapologetically African. I'm only interested, you know, in the work that I do and dealing with the problems that affect black children. Now, if I can help the child of another race, I will do that. I have no problem doing it. I've done it, will continue to. But the bulk of my effort is directed at my people because my people suffer the most.
Yes, that's right. And that's a good point. That's a good point because it's our family. We're talking about our family. And that's the most important thing that you have to take care of first is your family. And it doesn't mean that we are dealing with reverse racism, as I have been accused of sometimes, because I'm talking about the disparity that exists. The only thing I'm saying is I'm noting just what you noted, okay? The factor is that we have overwhelming numbers, and that the statistics are not lying. So when you're dealing with that, you go where the need is the greatest. And the need is the greatest within our community right now. And I think
so
that
very much true.
Yes, go ahead.
I agree.
The administrative communities, the whites that are on the boards of education around this country right now are probably, some of them may even be listening to this show right now. And one of the things that they need to understand is that there are more than the Dr. R. Johnsons out there, more than the Professor Applewhites out there. There's many of us who are going to stand up and advocate for the fact that there is a fictitious diagnosis syndrome going on within our school districts. I think you're absolutely right with that. I know that there are other groups that have been put on psychoactive drugs. I understand that, and I understand that our children are not the only ones who are diagnosed as ADHD. But you are right again. When we go back to the numbers are higher in our community, and that's why the title of our show is African Americans and Our Issues with Special Education. I have a big question for you, okay? I look at your work, the shocking things that you bring to the forefront. One of them that really interests me, as I mentioned earlier, I've always been involved in looking at how people I don't know who's got some background noise going on there, but please mute your phone if you can. Got you on switchboard live here. But one of the things that I'd like to address is when I look at learning and motivation, I see us culturally as people who are involved with movement. We learn movement, we learn by touch. And I see one of the things that I'm concerned about is that there's not a cultural understanding about the way we learn. And therefore, that's why we have so many labels being placed on our children in classrooms, not an understanding, cultural orientation of how we learn. And I saw that your work kind of focuses on that I know you don't call it kinesthetic learning, but, you know, that's I'm an educational psychologist, so, I'm going to go on that level. Now, you're a school psychologist, nationally certified, sir. Okay, so I know you know what I'm talking about. What is this, why don't they understand cultural orientation of our children? Why isn't that the learning styles? That's just what I'm saying. Why isn't that something that's enforced within education?
Well, for one reason, the American school system could care less what benefits black children. We have to be clear about that. Schools do not exist to properly educate black children. That is not the goal of education. The goal of education is to socially indoctrinate black children into the thoughts, beliefs, and attitudes and behaviors that are most conducive to the perpetuation of the American social order. So our boys are being educated to go to jail, and our girls are being educated to spend a life in poverty. The other thing, too, the reason why you don't see a lot of emphasis on anything like kinesthetic learning or anything in addition to what is already done is because it would inconvenience the teachers. And we have to be very clear about something, that the teacher unions in this country, the American Federation of Teachers and the National Education Association, which are the two largest ones, exert significant control over the operating procedures and policies of all the school districts in this country. So to make a long story short, the reason why you will never see kinesthetic learning being infused is because it would inconvenience the teachers. And public education is the only industry in this country where the employees dictate to the employers how they're going to do their job. You don't find that in no other industry. Only in public education do the employees dictate to the employers how they're going to do their job, and that's through the power that they have given the American Federation of Teachers and the National Education Association. The teacher unions are the number one challenge, barrier, problem, and obstacle to innovation in education.
Is that right? You know, I never looked at it that way, Dr. Johnson. You're absolutely that sounds right. It's the teacher unions, and the teacher unions. Oh, boy, I know you're going to shock me again here and our listeners, but tell me again, the teachers' unions probably are comprised of white Americans at the top.
Of course.
That's too much. That's too much. You know, I see that a lot of the things that you do on your website, and for our listeners out there, you can just Google in Umar Johnson into your browser and come up with his website. I'm not going to take time to try to spell out his website here, but just put Umar Johnson and pick up his website. Is your book ready, sir?
The book isn't ready yet, but the website is drumarjohnson.com.
Okay, great. So if our listeners got that out there, you have any question about that, just contact White Apple Institute at 480-471-8082, and we'll be glad to redirect you to Dr. Umar Johnson for more on the work that he's doing in Pan-Africanism, in special education, and as a man who is truly trying to make a change happen and being part of the solution. I was looking at some of the things that you're doing, and I see an undertone or overtone of someone I've always respected in my life, and that is Marcus Garvey. And I see you're influenced by him, aren't you? Tell us about your inspiration by Marcus Garvey.
Well, I'm the former Minister of Education for Marcus Garvey's Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Communities League. I am a Pan-Africanist, as was Marcus Garvey, and our views are 99.9% exactly the same. I believe, as he did, that the only thing that is going to solve black people's problems are black people, and I also believe that all of our problems have an international nature to them, which is why when we talk about the war against black boys, it is a global war against black boys. When we talk about what's happening to black women, that's a global issue. Any problem that you find black people be affected by in America, black people are affected by it wherever we are in the world, which is why it's so important for us to internationalize our struggle because our enemy has internationalized his oppression. White supremacy is global, and they work together to oppress black people, so it becomes necessary for the victims to work together to throw off the shackles of the oppressor. If you're fighting a global enemy on a domestic front, you cannot win. So it's going to take pan-Africanism to defeat white supremacy.
Define for our listeners out there, when you say pan-Africanism, try to help us to understand a little bit more about that concept and how our listeners can even join in support of that.
Pan-Africanism basically stands on two foundational concepts. The first one is international unity. All African people are but one race. Regardless of our color, our religion, our language, our nationality, we are one race. Biographically, historically, culturally, spiritually, genetically, we all are direct descendants of one Africa. So we're one family. And we are against the segregation of our people into groups. We respect the various identities that we all have, but we must recognize that we should put our racial identity above and beyond anything else. And the second core concept of Pan-Africanism is international self-reliance. We believe that we have to solve our problems ourselves without any outside help from any other race, and that we must do it on a global scale.
Wow. That certainly defines it. And what I love about Pan-Africanism in my studies and in my association, because we have a group here in Arizona, believe it or not, we do. And one of the things that I really love about the movement in itself is we do not discriminate against other ethnic groups. What we're just saying is that we need to focus on our family first, okay? Before we can, there's only so much time we have, and you can only solve so many problems at one time. So this is a major problem, and we appreciate you being part at the helm. I'm gonna say it, brother. You are at the helm. I am following you. I'm following your lead, and that's why I want to see you come back on this show and do a series of shows with you, so that we can get your message out to over 20,000 listeners out there that are globally listening to you speak this morning. We thank you so much for being part of this. Is there anything else that you feel in closure here that you need to say to our listeners out there, and how we can help become part of the solution more?
I would just like to let them know that I'm working on a shockumentary, America's Psychoacademic War Against Black Boys. If there's any black people listening to the show, parents, professionals, black men, boys, who have a testimonial and would like to be interviewed for the documentary, please send a text to my cell phone, 215-989-9858. Again, 215-989-9858 with your name, your city, and the word documentary, and I will be in touch with you to schedule the interview. And also, June 29th to July 1st in Beaufort, South Carolina, I will be hosting the first annual grassroots think tank on Pan-Africanism institution building and spirituality for anyone who's interested in coming to South Carolina at the end of June to help us think and build.
Dr. Johnson, we will keep up with your calendar, and we will be glad to promote what you're doing. And I thank you so much for being part of this show today, brother. You don't know what it meant to me for you to be so open and welcoming to saying, I will be glad to be on this show. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you.
And at closure of our show this morning, and we will on a project until June of this year, White Apple Institute will be featuring our past episodes. And so we won't have any live shows after April 1st. So we encourage you to tell others to join our show and to listen to the episodes of previous episodes, so we can keep the show going. Your donations are accepted through whiteappleinstitute.org. And we encourage you to listen to your own selves. Get inside of your own heart. Know that your deepest fear is not that you are inadequate. Your deepest fear is that you are powerful beyond measure. Let it be your light, not your darkness, that shines. Let your light shine, not focus on your darkness. Ask yourselves, don't ask yourselves, who are you to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? Nelson Mandela's speech from Marianne Williamson's writings in 1990's inaugural speech. Thank you so much. We'll talk soon. Much love and peace. Thank you, Nazim Rashid, for this great music.